Open your Bibles with me to the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 4. And I'm going to read verses 18 through 20 in your hearing. Get right into the message. There is a word from the Lord today. And I believe that it is a relevant word. Amen. It is a relevant word from the Lord. Amen. Beginning with verse 18, Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Bow with me. Father, we come now in the name of Jesus, and we praise you, O God, for your majesty, your glory, your sovereignty, O Lord, for who you are. And we thank you that you are our God and our Father, that you, Lord, have allowed us to gather in this place today that we might worship you and give you glory. Thank you for the worshipers that are present. Thank you for the songs that we've heard. Thank you for the movement of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, and for your divine presence here with us today. Now, Lord, speak today. Stand in my body. Think with my mind. Speak with my mouth, O Lord, that you may be heard today. And, Father, my prayers that lives will be transformed, that we will be changed, that we will be made new, O Lord. If there be any who are not saved today, call them unto yourself, add them to the kingdom, and add them to the church, O Lord. And we'll be careful and rejoice with the angels in heaven. Now, Lord, we bless you, we praise you, we invoke your divine presence and blessing on our worship today, in Jesus' name, amen. Lift your Bibles with me and repeat after me. This is my Bible, God's holy word. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. I will hide it in my heart that I may not sin against God. Let's give the Lord some praise, and you may be seated in his presence this morning. Let's go fishing. Amen. I believe there's some fishermen in the house. I believe there's some people in here know something about fishing. And for the rest of you who don't, you'll get a brief tutorial this morning on my favorite hobby. Amen. And though it is my favorite hobby, it is my favorite hobby in more than one sense. Fishing is a hobby that many people enjoy. And in some countries, fishing is the primary vocation or means of earning revenue for families and even for some nations. We were kids, we used to even play a card game called Go Fish. I know wasn't very good at it, but I remember it, and I believe kids still play it sometime. But as much as I enjoy fishing, fishing is work. See, I can tell most of y'all don't know nothing about fishing. Y'all think we just go out there and just have a good time and catch fish. But fishing requires work. First of all, you have to have the equipment to fish. You got to have rods and reels, poles and lures and hooks and amen, and all the stuff that allows you to look like you know what you're doing. All right. Then you got to have some bait. And then, since most of us don't live on the lake or can't walk out the back door and cast a rod into the water, we got to have some means of transportation in order to get there. So you got to have a truck, a car, or something to get you down to the water so you can go fishing. Amen. Now, when you get there and you bait your hook and you throw it in, you got to have some patience. Amen. Because fish don't bite just because you show up. Amen. They bite because they're hungry. They bite because the right bait or lure has been thrown into the water, is at the right elevation and is moving with the right type of movement that symbolizes or reminds them of something that they like to eat. Now, on those days when you are fortunate enough to catch some fish, the work really begins, because then you got to clean them. Amen. That's where the work starts, because after you get them home, you either got to fillet them or scale them, skin them, and clean them in order to get them ready to go in to some grease. Amen. So, and maybe some of the fishermen in here may remember some stuff that I left out, but I think I pretty much covered that whole gamut that is required to go out and fish. There is a type of fishing that Jesus talks about in Scripture that very closely parallels the fishing that I just described. Earlier in the year, we asked every member to fill out an index card, or actually two index cards, put one in this envelope and seal it, and take the other one home and put it someplace where you would see it every day. And that every day you would pray for the salvation of the people whose names you put on that card. That's fishing. Amen. And when you look at it, let me ask, and you don't have to give me a show of hands, but you think about how many of the people's names that you wrote on here has God delivered this year? How many has he saved this year? We know that some people have been born again, some people have been saved here at Christian Charity, been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And we have approximately 10 weeks left in this year before we go into 2017. And if anybody on your card is not saved yet, you got time to go fishing. You got time to share with them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with them to receive him, that they may become citizens of God's kingdom like you and I. Now, we are all called, all of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we have been called to a life of service. When Jesus called those brothers from fishing, he didn't call them just to walk around and follow him. He called them to a life of service. When he said to them, "Follow me," he was calling them to come and do something other than just walk where he walked. So let's get started this morning in Matthew 4, verses 18 and 19. And Jesus was walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." So when we look at it from the natural sense, the beginning of our preparation to be fishers of men and women is the call to salvation. That Jesus calls us to come to him by faith and commit our lives to him. Now, these men were literally fishermen by trade. They were fishermen by profession, fishermen by vocation, if you will, and they were working their trade along the banks of the Sea of Galilee. Amen. And the Sea of Galilee is roughly, it's an oval-shaped lake for the most part, and it's about 8 miles wide and 13 miles long. Amen. And when Jesus called them, he was actually gathering the first, the original, amen, apostles, the original men who would be fishers of men and women that he would use to fulfill the great commission that he would give later after his resurrection. Amen. And they were the originals. They were the first band, if you will, of evangelists, amen, who God determined that he would use for his work of redemption. Now, Jesus didn't stop with those two, but ultimately he chose 12 disciples. Now, let me get your mind wrapped around something this morning. God always chooses those with whom he is going to partner. Amen. We don't choose him. He chooses us. Now, when God got ready to destroy the world, Noah didn't choose God. God chose Noah in order to preserve humanity. Amen. When God was ready to establish a covenant with a nation, amen, Abraham didn't choose God. God chose Abraham. When Israel was in slavery and God wanted to deliver them, Moses didn't choose God. God chose Moses. God chose the prophets, both minor and major. Amen. And Peter said to us in 1 Peter 2:9, he says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praise of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light." When you look at this, it was God who chose us. It was God who called us and made us a holy nation, made us his own peculiar, his own special people. Amen. And he did it so we could go and proclaim, amen, the praises of his wonders to a dying world. God didn't just choose us so we could just say, "I'm going to heaven." God chose us for a life of service that we might be instrumental in seeing other people come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. Jesus chooses you and I. It is by his divine election that you and I now are citizens of the kingdom, that we are part of God's economy, that we are part of God's family. Now, so you know I'm not making this up. Go over to John 15, verse 16, and there Jesus told him, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you." Now, not only did he choose us, but he chose us for a specific purpose. And he chose us for the purpose of bearing fruit through the work of evangelism and telling other people about the grace of God, telling other people about the love of God, telling them that God came into this world in human form and then saved us. And he saved us that we might be instrumental in somebody else being saved. How do fishes of men prepare for service? Well, first of all, you have to prepare to deal with distractions. Satan is a master manipulator. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies, according to the word of God. Amen. He is a created being, and therefore he is not omniscient, omnipresent, or amen. He's not everywhere. He doesn't know everything. He's not everywhere, and he doesn't have all power. But he is a powerful foe. And with that, we need to understand that he places all kinds of distractions in our way. Have you ever been driving, those of us who drive, and something just, for whatever reason, takes your mind off of the road? Be it your phone, a text message, the song on the radio, the person in the car next to you, But you almost have a wreck because you are distracted from your primary purpose of operating the vehicle. I believe if you're in here, you ought to say amen. Because you know at some point in time you've been distracted and almost had an accident because of the distraction. And I know, well, can I keep it real? Hey, brothers, how many of y'all have been rolling down the street and y'all saw her? And, oh, see, y'all want to play like y'all ain't never saw her before. I know y'all saw her. And when you did, your eye, you know, and the wheels start going the same way your eyes was going.
All right.
In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, it says, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. The lottery, pick this or that, whatever it is you play. Amen. Go onto the boat. They're all distractions. Because if you're operating in that realm, it's a testimony that you're not really trusting God to take care of you. Amen. Now, if you have a desire to be rich, and temptation comes in all kinds of forms, but inevitably, if you are a fisherman, if you know how to fish, you know you're going to have to deal with some distractions. Because somebody's going to walk up and say something, you're going to turn around and talk to them, or you're going to see a snake and you're trying to watch that snake so he don't come over where you are. Amen. And next thing you know, you look back at your barber and it's either gone or it's floating laying on top of the water because somebody already got your bait while you was looking away. And every time the enemy distracts us from our primary responsibility and purpose as believers, we miss an opportunity, amen, to impact the life of a person who is on their way to hell for the glory of God. Every time Satan gets us to take our eyes off of what God has called us to do, we miss an opportunity. When we set our personal goals and aspirations, amen, when they take precedence over our service to God, it's a distraction. And we're missing the opportunity to reach somebody for the glory of God. Now, the Bible says, those who desire to be rich, those who want a whole lot of everything, it's a distraction, amen, from the enemy, and it takes us out of that realm where we can really give God our very best, amen. So when you look at it, the Bible tells me, and it tells you too, I should say, that godliness with contentment is great gain. And basically, what the writer's saying, what God is saying through the writer, is that we ought to be happy. Amen. We ought to be content with what God has given us. Amen. And if we're faithful in doing and using what God has given us, so you don't need two jobs. And I don't know if somebody got two jobs, so if you do, I'm not picking on you, but I just want you. If you are content with what God has given you, you ain't got to work two or three jobs. Amen. Be content with what God has given you. Use it in an efficient and effective manner, and God will multiply it, amen, and allow you to experience peace and contentment with what he's already given you. The enemy uses money as a very powerful snare for us. Now, what are some of the snares and some of the distractions that we have to be prepared to deal with? First of all, let's talk about temptation. And in 1 Corinthians, and everybody's tempted, so don't tell me you're not. Amen. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above, beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Well, Temptation is a common occurrence. Everybody deals with temptation on some level. Amen. But there's good news this morning. And the good news is that though we have to deal with it and it is a distraction, God is faithful. Let me say that again. Though we may be tempted, though we may have these distractions come in our way, God is faithful. Amen. Every temptation has a door of escape. Every temptation, not some, but every temptation that you and I, as the children of God, deal with in our lives, God prepares a door where we can slide out and not get caught up in the snare or the distraction that Satan is placing before us. He gives us a way of escape. So we don't have to succumb to the power of temptation. Amen. He does it so we can bear it. He does it so we can have victory over temptation. Amen. And not only victory over temptation, but victory over the enemy as well. Now, that's just one. And I believe we all would agree that we deal with temptation in some fashion. Now, the next one is that we have to deal with is greed. 1 Timothy 6:9 said, but those who desire to be rich, amen, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Paul gives Timothy a powerful warning and admonition that he needed to beware because greed and the desire to be rich, amen, is filled with trouble. You don't believe me? As the former CEO of Wells Fargo. Y'all just saw that in the news lately, didn't you? Because they was greedy, they was opening up and creating false accounts. Amen. And they got busted. If you don't believe that, ask Bernie Madoff. Bernie stole all these people's money, amen, because he was greedy. Ultimately, he got caught, ended up in jail, amen. And we need to understand that there are others who have been caught up because of greed and a lack of integrity. Right. Now, let's look at this verse. It says, but those who desire, and those are ungodly desires, those desires that do not parallel the life that a believer should live, amen. Look, the desire to be rich, they fall into temptation. And temptation is the desire to take that which really doesn't belong to you, is not in the will of God for your life. And it says, and a snare. Y'all know what a snare is? A snare is a trap, amen, that hunters put down, amen, for animals that run. And when they stick their foot into it, it catches them, and it holds them until the hunter comes back. Amen. In some instances, a snare lifts them off the ground and they're hanging by one foot. Satan, when he tempts us with the desire to be rich, has set a snare or a trap for you and for I. Now, and what happens with that is that we fall into foolish, amen, and harmful lust. We just start wanting stuff we don't even need. We start wanting stuff that we know ain't no good for us. We start wanting stuff that belongs to other folk, amen. And for that reason, it is a snare. And then he says, which drown in destruction and perdition. And perdition literally is a word for hell because it is symbolic of where people go after they die. So in that, if we desire to be rich, we're asking to fall into temptation and the snare of the devil. Now, so y'all can really get your mind wrapped around it. 1 Timothy 6:10, it says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." See, greed is a fiery dart from the enemy. Now, y'all know where the Bible tells us to put on the whole armor of God and talks about us standing against the fiery darts of the evil one. This is a prime fiery dart that Satan uses, because in it he takes him. You know, he tried that with Jesus. Because he took Jesus and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and told him, if you just bow down and worship me, I'm going to give you all this stuff. Jesus told him, said, "Satan, get thee behind me." He said, "Worship the Lord our God, and him only should we worship." But a person who loves money, according to the scripture, that is, they pierce themselves, they inflict harm on themselves, amen, and pierce themselves through with many sorrows because they forsake God in order to pursue money. And it's just an attack. It's just a distraction of the enemy. Now, the last one I'll deal with, and it's not the last one because this is not a comprehensive list, but sin is a distraction. James 1:15, it says, "Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death." And in that, you hear the progression of sin. Sin is an illicit, unholy desire, amen, that it conceives. Sin is pregnant with wants. I didn't say needs. This desire is pregnant with wants, amen? And then those wants give birth to sin. And then sin, when it grows up, it ultimately brings forth death. It destroys, amen, that body which it inherits. Sin is a bad thing, and it is a horrible distraction because, see, sin won't let us focus on God. Amen. Sin will cause us to put our eyes on other things. But now, because we are going to be fishers of men, we need to get ready. We need to make preparation, amen, in order that we might be effective in the service God has called us to render. So how do we get ready to go fishing? The first thing we have to do is we have to pray. And in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Now, the first thing it tells you to do is what? Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Pray. And if you want to see these people saved, pray. Ask God to open a door, to give you favor, to allow you to plant, allow you to water some seeds in that person's life. And see, prayer is enlarged through supplication, because supplication is literally earnest pleading or earnest begging. So by prayer and supplication, and then you ought to be thankful, Lord, that you saved me, first of all, and now, Lord, you gave me an opportunity to be used by you in your kingdom building. And then I'm letting you know, Lord, that I want my cousin, my brother, my mother, my sister, my friend, whoever I got on this card, Lord, I want them to be saved. Now, once you've done that, get on up off your knees. Smile and say, "Lord, I know you got this." And then it says, after you let your request be known unto God, God makes us a promise that the sentinels of his peace will, amen, it can't even really be understood, but it will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Have you ever gone up to a place and they got guards standing out front? Just so you can kind of have a visual. Amen. When you walk up there and you see all these people standing there with these weapons, you know they're there for one reason only. And that is to secure whatever's behind them. So when we pray and we make our requests made known unto God, amen, God allows his peace to envelop us and to keep us in perfect peace. Not to fret, not to worry. So our first preparation is that we talk to God. Then we have to study the word of God. 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, amen, rightly dividing the word of truth. And therefore, we collectively should spend time in the word of God, making preparation so we know our doctrine, so we know our foundation, so we know what we need to share with people that they too can receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Amen. We ought to have that personal study time. But let me, can I recommend something? If you really, really want to be prepared in order to share with those around you, you ought to come out on Sunday morning to discipleship. You ought to come out on Tuesday night to Bible study. Amen. Because there we're studying the word of God. You can ask questions. You can glean from the conversation, the teaching that is taking place, those things that will equip you and allow you to be thoroughly prepared in order to share the gospel and go fishing for men and women. That's where the rubber meets the road, and that is in the teaching ministries of the church. You can be a part of it, and you can grow more, amen, if you come there than you can sitting at home. Yeah. Then the next area of preparation is biblical fellowship. When believers truly fellowship with one another, 1 John tells us that Jesus and God are right there in the midst. And wherever God's presence is, his blessing is there. And we ought to desire the blessing of God. Now, let me give you just a quick demonstration. I'm going to move on. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 42, it says, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And fellowship in breaking of bread and in prayers. Now, let me read that again. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship in breaking bread and in prayer. And on that day, wow, the Lord added 3,000 souls to the church. Now, Christian Charity, and those visiting with us today, if we could continue steadfastly in biblical doctrine, amen, and then we would have authentic biblical fellowship, and that's mean breaking some bread, which we're going to go downstairs and do in a few minutes, and in prayers, amen, and God, we don't know what God might do. But one thing we know he will do, we don't know how many, I should say, but God will add to the church when people see authentic Christian fellowship, When they see men and women loving one another, caring for one another, taking care of one another, it will draw them to the body of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
Amen. See, it don't matter. It don't matter what you say. What you do takes precedence. Amen. And what you do gives credence to what you say. So we can talk about loving the Lord, and we can truly love one another. We can share the word of God. We can study the word of God together and then have fellowship and pray. So it sounds to me like when they came together, they were studying the word of God, and then they were having some food, fellowship, breaking bread, amen. And then while they was breaking bread, they was praying. And saying, Lord, I need you to save my cousin. Lord, take care of Paul. Take care of the apostles. Bless the body of Christ. And we can grow through that. And God can use us as a body if we will prepare ourselves to do the work that God has called us to do. As I get ready to close, my fourth and last point is, a proper response. Verse 20 says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. And when Jesus calls us, it's time to move. It's time to get busy. There's no time for deliberation, contemplation, hesitation, or reservation. When God calls us to do something, we should be moving with purpose to do what God has called us to do. Whatever it is, we need to be moving out to do it. It may require us to deny ourselves some pleasure. But believe me, the gains are worth more than the sacrifice. To see somebody come to Jesus Christ far outweighs, amen, watching your favorite show on television. To see somebody's soul saved for eternity, amen, far outweighs watching the Chiefs this afternoon.
That's right.
Amen. To see somebody saved and come to know Christ as their Lord and Savior, amen, far outweighs, amen, going out to the mall and doing some shopping. It may require us to get out of our comfort zones in order to respond to the call of Jesus Christ. But let me share with you what these men did. When Christ called them, they didn't take time to fold up their nets, wash them, and make sure that they were put away properly. They left their nets, which was their livelihood, and they followed Jesus Christ immediately. Their response was immediate. It was instant. And Jesus is not asking you and me to quit our jobs, to leave our occupations, our vocations. He's just saying, follow me. And the beauty is, wherever you work, you can be faithful to the call of Jesus Christ, amen, to share the love of God. Amen. So he is calling us to a life of evangelistic service, if you will. D.L. Moody was visiting a library in Chicago one year. And while he was there, there was a painting that caught his eye. And in this painting, there was a man holding onto a cross that was embedded in a rock. And the title of that painting was Rock of Ages. A few years later, he was in another city and in a museum, and he saw another picture. And this picture showed a man holding on to a cross with one hand that was embedded in a rock and reaching back for another person who was about to drown in the sea. And Moody said the first picture was beautiful, but the second one was lovelier. And Moody's comment reminds me that once Jesus delivers us from the sea of sin, that it becomes our responsibility to hold on to Jesus Christ, amen, to get a firm grip on him, and then to reach back and to get some other brother, sister, or friend who is about to sink into the sea of sin. Jesus said that I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. And in his service to humanity, Jesus healed the sick. In his service to humanity, Jesus fed the hungry. In his service to humanity, Jesus changed the lives of those who were unable to care for themselves. He gave his life as a life to serve you and I, and ultimately he died out on Mount Calvary. When they hung him between two thieves out on the cross. Amen. He hung there from the sixth until the ninth hour. And around the ninth hour, I heard him say, Father, it's finished now. Into your hands I commend my spirit. Well, they took him down and they laid him in a borrowed tomb. And he laid there all night, Friday night. Yeah, and he laid there all night, Saturday night. But I got good news this morning. He didn't stay dead. Because my Bible tells me that early Sunday morning, Jesus got up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And I just want to declare this morning that he is my rock and my fortress. He's my God and he's my deliverer. He's my hope and he is my joy. Yeah, he has all power in his hand. Got on a cloud one morning, went back to glory, sat down at the right hand of majesty. He's making intercession for you and me up there, because you know we fall short of the glory of God every now and then. And when we do, he says, Father, I've already paid the price. Yeah, I don't have to worry about it no more, because Jesus is my advocate. Well, because he is, I don't have to worry about the cares of this world. And I'm not going to drown in the sea of sin anymore. Now that I'm outside and I'm on the right side with God, I'm still reaching for some who don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And all of those people that you know, all of those people that you wrote down on these cards, reach back. Grab them for the glory of God. And see, I can identify with where they are. Because, see, one day, I was the one smoking marijuana. One day, I was the one who was snorting cocaine. One day I was the one who was in the streets doing all the bad things. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Yeah. I was way out there, very deeply, staying within. And I was going down, I was sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard. He heard my despairing cry. And from the water, he lifted me. Now save. In his own. Let's go fishing. There was a little old lady who was praying for me. Prayed for me to receive Christ. Saw my wicked life. Continued to pray for me. Oh, see, I wasn't looking for God and I wasn't calling his name. But she was praying for me. And it was through her prayers that God brought me out. Pray, study, go. The Great Commission says, go into all the world. Make disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. Then his promise is, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Christian charity? Christian charity. Let's go fishing. Let's go find some men and some women who don't know Jesus Christ and bring them into the boat of salvation. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. Stand with me as we prepare to open the doors of the church.